I'm with you too. I'm here. I can close my eyes. I'm sure all of you can do this too. If you closed your eyes and thought about it, you would see the faces of our faithful people. We know where they sit. Most of you sit the same place all the time. And we don't feel disconnected, even though you're not here physically with the few of us who are. We are closer to you than we've ever been. We're praying for you more than we ever have. And we love and appreciate one another more than ever. Thank you, praise and worship team, for always leading us into the presence of God. I do want to mention that our prayers are with a special faithful lady, member of our church, Miss Hattie Thomas. Lost her mother just a few days ago. Her mom was 95 years old. And Miss Hattie and the Thomas family, our love goes out to you, and our prayers go out to you as well. I do want to mention that things are going to be different next Sunday. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and nobody will be here at our church, not even the few who normally gather to bring worship and the word to you in your homes as you worship from home. But next Sunday, since it's Mother's Day, Brenda and I are inviting our whole church over to our house. We'll be live streaming from our home next Sunday. It is a day to honor all of our mothers, so keep that in mind. And I want to say thank you to Tracy Rowell and Reflections Photography for taking this beautiful picture. My wife is beautiful. The reason we chose this picture is because my wife looks good in this picture. Not so much me, but so next Sunday is live from Carl and Brenda's home, 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. Also, thank you to Van Rowell, who's our graphic design artist. He makes all of us look better than we do. I should also mention how we are thinking at the moment about when we will have public services again. And of course, we don't know. Things change every week, every day almost. But I believe it won't be long, maybe just a few more weeks. And we'll be able to reopen our Sunday morning services for those of you who want to come. And it'll probably look like this. I doubt we're going to get 600 people in here at one time on day one when we get back to church. Not everybody can come. Not everybody should come. Not everybody will feel comfortable coming. So what we will probably do as we watch the healthcare guidelines and the officials, and also we will look at what other churches are doing, we will at some point announce ahead of time, and we will limit those who can come on Sunday morning. We can seat 600 here, but we will probably only have no more than 100. Our ushers will be here, and we'll make sure you're spaced out for social distancing. We will take care of that. Everything sanitized, and of course, that doesn't even need to be said anymore moving forward. And we will keep our distance, maybe get 100 in here. That's by far less than the occupancy requirement will probably be. So we'll let you know as soon as we know. We can't wait to get back together with you. I do want to share a couple of emails with you. One is an email, or this is a letter that came in the mail this week from one of our faithful members. I won't call the name, but she says, "Hello, pastors. As I was preparing to send my tithe, I wanted to also give a praise report. God is so good. God is such a good provider. While all of our plans have changed, been postponed, or even canceled, we have been covered by God's grace." And she said, "God is working in me." She talks about some issues with her health. And then she said, "I believe because I am leaning on God more than ever, I am healed. I have not had any pain in 2 months. God is good, and I'm so thankful. We love and miss you and the rest of our church family." She signed it, "Happy Quarantine." So, I mean, I like a letter like that. In the middle of a crisis, She's giving God thanks for his goodness and his grace. Also want to share an email I got a couple of weeks ago. And it comes from somebody who lives 3,000 miles from here. She says, good day to you, Pastor Carl, and the Abundant Life community. I was able to watch your message this morning. I know you probably don't remember me. She had used to live in Florence and had visited our church, but since moved away, far away. She's been gone for many years. She said, over the time, I have lost my way, unable to find a home church that touches my heart. And I work in the healthcare industry treating cancer patients. I was listening to your sermon this morning, and it brought tears to my eyes. I feel I need to be a part of a faith community that speaks life to me. I prayed with you and recommitted myself to the Lord today, and I would like to be a part of your church community. Even thousands of miles away, our church is growing and God is moving, and so we celebrate this email. And we're going to be better because of this. I also want to bring updates from some of our special friends in other nations. Brian and Millie Hudson, our missionaries in Nicaragua, they're watching right now. I saw you log in just a few minutes ago. God love you, Brian and Millie, and we love and miss you. But these are our homegrown missionaries. They grew up in our church. And they're celebrating a milestone in just the next few weeks. They have been our missionaries in Nicaragua for 20 years. And for months now, Brenda and I had plans to go down on Sunday, June 7, and have a special day at our church there, honoring Brian and Millie for 20 years of their labor and love in missions ministry to Nicaragua. But because of everything being locked down, of course, we won't be able to go. But Brian and Millie, we're still thanking God for 20 years. You're just beginning. You're still young, and your nation needs you now more than ever. The coronavirus has affected every nation on the planet, to my knowledge. Nicaragua also not allowed to gather in large groups, can't have church as they normally do. And the churches there are doing what we're doing if they're able, and that is worshiping by live stream, people in their homes, and won't be able to even get together for a big celebration that Brian and Millie deserve. But I got an email from Brian just yesterday, Saturday afternoon. Part of what he said is, we're enjoying your Sunday services on live stream, and he said this. He said, your team is doing a marvelous job. I'll see you in the morning. So this is the morning. And Brian, thank you. And I agree. We have an amazing team that's able to handle all of this and come to you with worship and with a word from the Lord as we do every Sunday. Then I want to give you a quick update on our church in Latvia. I was with Pastor Vilnis and Sandra and speaking at our church, Abundant Life Latvia, just last year. Vilnis is unable to have services because of the coronavirus. I think we have a picture of Vilnis and me 1 year ago. I presented him with a plaque in the Latvian language honoring him for his 25 years serving as pastor of our church there in Latvia. They're not able to have service either. There are about 900 confirmed coronavirus cases in the nation of Latvia. It's about the size of West Virginia. And they're doing what they can. Pastors and churches all over the world during this season are doing all we can do to keep the gospel going. But our prayers are also with Vilnis and Sandra and our church family there in Latvia. Now, as we turn to the Word this morning, I want to say that all of us are aware that this COVID-19, this coronavirus global pandemic, It's as if an assault has taken place on the Great Commission. What this virus has done is greatly impacted, restricted world missions and home missions. I do want to say, though, that all of our missions partners locally here in Florence and globally around the world, we are still 100% in support of them. We've not cut back any of our support to our home missions and our world missions projects. I believe that a local church, every local church, should do two things. First, a local church should add value to their own community. And we are doing that and have been for many years, supporting the homeless shelters, the food ministries, the pro-life movement, even the Red Cross, who comes immediately to help when a house fire destroys your home. We are still partnering with all local missions. We're adding value to our community. And the second thing every local church should do is follow the Great Commission, and that is take the gospel to the ends of the world. Abundant Life Church exists for those two reasons: to add value to our own community locally through the gospel, and to honor the Great Commission in world missions. And large crowds are not allowed together right now. And even street evangelism is on hold. You can't even gather a group of people on the street for Christian music or the gospel message to go forward. But today I want to talk to you about the word on the street. Now, the truth is, very few of us inside this auditorium, that's the way it is all over the world on this Sunday morning, but the word was never meant to be spoken and heard only inside four walls. The word should always get out to the street. And the enemy tries to kill the word before it can make it to the street where we live and where we work and where we connect with other people. Jesus told a story one time. It's a parable. And before he started it, he said this in Mark 4:13. Jesus said, "If you don't understand this, you will never understand anything else I will ever say." Now that must be important for Jesus to say, if you don't get this, you'll never get anything from me. That's how important this parable is. And he began by saying this: "If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear." That sounds simple. The New Living Translation words it like this, and I like this better. Jesus said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." After he had said these amazing statements, especially if you don't get this, you won't get anything, he began sharing the story, the parable of the sower sowing the word. And of course, we grew up understanding this parable, knowing about it. The sower sows seed into soil. Jesus explained the parable and said, the seed is the word, and the soil is our heart. And he goes on quickly to describe four different types of soil. You can repeat them by heart. We've grown up even from our childhood Sunday school days knowing this parable. The four types of soil: there is a seed that's sown by the wayside, then seed that's sown on rocky ground, seed that's sown on thorny ground, and then the fourth and final type of soil is the good soil. That represents our heart being perfectly receptive to the seed or to the word we hear. Briefly, I'll describe each type, and then I'm going to dwell on one type today. Seed that are sown by the wayside. It's like throwing a seed on the asphalt parking lot. The heart is so hardened it won't even receive the seed. Now notice, the seed is sown, but it can't penetrate the soil. Our heart has become so hardened that even the word of God cannot pierce it. That's seed falling on the wayside. It becomes bird food. Jesus said quickly, a bird will come and take that seed. The word never had a chance. Imagine it, the powerful, life-giving word of God never having a chance. Not because the word or the seed was inferior. The seed, the word, is always good. But the type of soil is most important. When a seed, a word, falls by the wayside, God's word has no effect on that person. It's in one ear and out the other. That's when the word of God is sown to us, to a heart that's so hardened. You've met people like that. Some of you perhaps used to be somebody like that until God did a work on your heart. The second type of soil is rocky ground. These are people who hear the word and immediately rejoice over it. Now that reminds me of myself. Many years ago, God doing a new thing in the earth. I was wanting in on it. It was the charismatic movement. Every denomination was affected. It was probably the last great global move of God, and it happened in our lifetime. I was late teens, early 20s when that happened, and I remember hearing the word frequently, and everything inside of me wanted to immediately rejoice because I'd heard the word. But many times, even when you are glad to hear the word and you immediately spin around and rejoice because you've heard a good word, it winds up being nothing more than a word that falls on rocky ground. Jesus explained it and said, these are people who hear the word, and although they rejoice immediately when they hear it, that's their first response. Very enthusiastic, but rocks are beneath the surface of the soil. Most are invisible to the eye. And Jesus said, they believe for a while. Now that is a horrible phrase. I'm going to mention a few horrible phrases this morning. Jesus said, people who receive the word and plant it on rocky soil, they believe for a while. Have you ever known anybody that believed? They really believed for a while. We don't want that to be our story. Jesus said, after they believe for a while, a test will come along and immediately they stumble. I don't like that phrase either. They believe for a while and immediately they stumble. That is the word or the seed falling on rocky ground. And then there is thorny ground. This is when the word was heard, but the soil was compromised. There were thorns in the soil, and even though the word will grow, the thorns grew faster than the seed or the word. Finally, there was the good ground. Jesus said, this is the time when the hearer will not only hear the word, but will receive it. And this kind of believer who will permanently latch hold of the word as it is sown into their heart and guard their heart, they will reap 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. In other words, that seed or that word will be fruitful for them. Now, the quality of the seed is always the same. Don't make the mistake of thinking that, well, that just wasn't a good word. It hasn't helped me much at all. The quality of the word is always the same, but it's the condition of the soil that determines the effect of the seed. And here's how that plays out in our life. It's the condition of our heart that determines the effect of the word. It's interesting to me. I've done it myself, attended a service, heard great music and preaching, and then walk out, and I'm always aware there are some people who will hear that word, and walk out blessed and receiving, and it adds to their life quality and fruitfulness. Other people in that same service heard the same word and didn't get a thing. It's probably happened here at our church. I'm sure some have received more than others. The word is always good. The issue is the condition of our heart. How receptive are we? It's the condition of our heart that determines the effect that the word of God will have on us. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. But I want to take a step back and spend a few minutes this morning talking about the third type of soil. It was thorny ground. Let's take a close look at thorny ground. And I'm going to repeat a phrase or two from Scripture that I don't like a bit, but it is the truth. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I read that phrase again this week, and when I did, I couldn't believe that it is possible to choke the word of God. I don't like it, but Jesus said it. It's written in red, and he gives it for our admonition. The word of God being choked to death, and it becomes unfruitful. The word of God, imagine it, choked to death. The word choke means to stifle, to take by the throat and strangle completely. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. I'm sure it's happened to all of us, that God has a word for us, and his word is always quality. His word is always truth. He always has a word for his people, and we desperately need a word from God, and we hear it. But we allow three things to choke the life out of the word of God before it can bear any fruit in our life. That's when the word is sown on thorny ground. The New Living Translation words it like this: the word is crowded out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. I know what it's like to have the word crowded out. Many mornings, and I start my morning with the Lord, it's a quiet time, and I can be with him on track in the word, receiving revelation from the word, and then all of a sudden a distraction will come, a thought will come, and it will crowd out the word. Thorny ground. And the thorns in our heart, those sharp experiences we've had that left us wounded, perhaps, and we put somewhat of a guard up and won't even let the word do its work in our life. It's so easy in our day to have the word of God choked to death by these three things: cares, riches, and pleasures. Jesus highlighted those three enemies to the word. Cares, in the Greek, means distractions. It means being more mindful and attentive to other concerns than the word. Distractions. We've never lived in a more distractive generation. I'm not old. You know I'm a young man. But when I was a boy, we had two television channels, and one of them was fuzzy, and they both went off before midnight. And it was black and white, always. And the TV set was about this big. Now, I know that makes me sound old, but that was the truth. Now we have 800 channels, plus all the streaming services, plus YouTube, and everything's out there, including us. But so much distractions, so many things that will rob our focus and cause us to give more attention to other concerns than our concern for the Word of God. And then the second one is riches. That's pretty simple. Money, possessions, and abundance. There are people who live for that and that alone. All of it's important, has its proper place in priority, but someone who will allow money, possessions, and abundance to take their attention and their mind away from the Word of God and the work God wants to do through His Word in our lives. And then this is the third enemy to the Word of God. This third one will choke to death the Word of God, even when you hear it. Jesus said they hear it, but before it can bear fruit, take root and bear fruit and lead the person into a greater spiritual maturity, that word is choked to death. And the one thing that will do it is pleasures of this life. Pleasures. You know, we are a pleasure-seeking culture. It seems that there are no boundaries many times, no barriers. The motto, if it feels good, do it, that has crept into the church, almost as obvious as it is in the world. And the pleasures of this life. Jesus said many times the word will go forward. It has an intention. It has a purpose for your life. You will even hear it. You will hear the word. But the pleasures of this world choke to death the word God has given you. That word pleasures in the Greek is the word hedone. And this is the word we get our English word hedonistic from. Hedonistic lust, self-indulgent. A hedonistic person believes that pleasure is the most important thing in life. A hedonistic person believes that physical gratification is better than spiritual fulfillment. I did some reading online about the hedonistic lifestyle, and I found this sentence to be interesting. You will find a hedonistic person at a massage parlor or at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, boy, that's the gamut, isn't it, from one to the other. The point is, the attraction to pleasure that overrides and overrules our desire for the Word, to receive the Word, to guard the Word, to let the Word become a part of us. Now, there's never anything wrong with the Word. And the seed, which is the Word, knows what to do. You can go to the store, the farmer's supply, buy a bag of seed, and tell them what you want now before you buy the seed. If you want tomatoes, you better get tomato seed or little plants. If you want to grow oranges, you better get seeds for an orange tree. Because every seed has built into itself the knowledge of what it should do. You're not going to plant a corn seed and reap a pecan from it. The seed knows what to do. All the seed needs is the right environment, the right soil, the right heart for the word to be planted. And whatever is pleasurable to us more than feeding on the word of God, then that's a thorn in our soil. That's a compromised heart that will not allow the pure word of God to be planted and grow up and bear fruit that would please the Lord. Now, Jesus began this parable by saying, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. The parable is not about the word we read, even though, thank God, we have the written word. But Jesus did not say, if any man can see, let him read. Jesus said, if anyone can hear, let him hear. And the parable is not about the word we read, even though always read it. But the word has to become more than words written on paper, logos. It has to become a rhema, a revelation. It has to bring life to you. These are days when we need life from the word of God. This parable, Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you won't ever get anything else I ever say. That's how important this is. And then he talked about the sower, sowing the word. It's not about the word we read, it's about the word we hear. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And because Jesus said that to me and to you, I expect to be led by the Spirit of God and by His Word. I don't expect to be misled by any other spirit. Now, at some point in our relationship with God, and I'm just telling you, many believers right now, me included, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, we're taking advantage of this time to build a stronger relationship with the Word of God. I am relying on the Word more now than ever. And because of that, I have no anxiety. I have no worry. I'm not upset about anything or frustrated by men. I have such a great knowledge that God is our master and He's going to take care of us. It's a win-win for the children of God, regardless of how it plays out. But at some point, as our relationship with God grows, His Word, as we read it, words on paper, takes on a new dimension in our life, and we read His written Word until we hear His spoken Word. Has that ever happened to you? Many times. I've known I need a direction. Don't know what to do. I just need comfort instead of confusion, and I need peace instead of hurricanes, and I know where to go. I start with the Word. I stay there, and I read His Word until I hear Him speak. That's rhema. That's revelation. And Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear. That's how important this principle is. We read His Word until we hear His voice. How familiar is the voice of God to you? The Word, not just written, but also spoken. Not just words we read, but the Word we hear. And the reason some people think the Bible is filled with contradictions, have you ever heard an atheist with that argument? Oh, the Bible's just filled with contradictions. Well, if all you can do is read, you're right. But if you can hear His voice, there's never a contradiction. I'll give you an example. We're told in Scripture, in one place, agree with your adversary quickly We're told in the same book, in a different place, rule over your enemies. Well, which one is true? Well, both are biblically true. But the question is, which word is the right word for this specific life issue you're facing right now? And only as you're able to hear the voice of God speak can you receive that word. I have a few questions before we close. This is a great opportunity. I'm taking advantage of this time of crisis. They're calling it a crisis. But this is the perfect time to assess your relationship to the Word of God and let it grow. We have time to spend in God's Word, perhaps more now than we normally have. A few questions for you as you take inventory of your own relationship with the Word and the condition of your heart. How receptive are you to the Word of God that He speaks out loud to you? How much trust do we put in God's Word? There are some things that are difficult to measure. And in fact, most spiritual things are difficult to measure. That means it's difficult to improve. In the natural, you cannot improve what you do not measure. Now in the spiritual, we cannot measure, so we're not sure how much improvement we make unless you ask some fundamental questions. How much trust do we put in God's Word? David expressed his absolute trust in God's Word. He said in the Psalms, in a prayer to God, the sum of all your words is truth. And we must regard the Word of God as being fully and entirely trustworthy. You know, you can't believe much that you hear anymore. I don't know what to believe from the news. I don't know what to believe from media. I don't know what to believe when some people talk. But you can always trust God's Word. It never changes. It's forever settled in heaven and in earth. It is trustworthy. How much trust are you placing? I hope that in the middle of the tension on the planet right now because of a pandemic, you're finding it easier than ever to trust God's Word. It's a safe place to be. Then let me ask you another question. What about studying the Word of God? How much study do you give the Word of God? Now, we should not just believe the Word and trust the Word. We're taught to become a student of the Word. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, study to show yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever seen anybody who did damage with the word? I mean, you can take the letter of the law and cut a person up. Some people do that because they've not studied the word enough to be approved by God and to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. The Amplified Bible says, skillfully handling the word. There's a place in spiritual maturity for all of us. We can reach, and the word of God is skillfully handled in our life. And then, what about delighting in the word? This is a warp speed leap to the next level. Yeah, you trust God's word. We all say we do. We study God's word. But there's such a thing as reaching a place to where you actually delight. You get your pleasure from hearing the voice of God. And you read His written word until you hear His spoken word on the inside of you. Delighting in the word. This is a place of deep affection, great passion and zeal for God's word. David said it like this. Listen to a man who delighted in the word, and he didn't have all the word we have. He just had a little bit. But David said, better than thousands of gold and silver pieces is your word. And he said, sweeter than honey to my mouth That's a man who knew how to delight in the Word of God. And David found that there were other many other benefits that came with studying the Word and delighting in the Word. Whenever he was at a loss for direction, somebody right now in your home worshiping right now, you don't know what to do next. You don't know where to pick up your foot, where to put your foot down for your next step. You have no direction, don't know what to do. We all are there from time to time. David said, when I'm like that and I have no direction for my life, he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So we find direction for our life as we delight in the word. And then another statement I want to make in closing, a question: how much value do you place on God's word? I grew up in a Christian home, of course, and all my friends were Christians. Back then, I had no atheist friends. I've made a few atheist friends over my life. But we always knew we could trust the Bible. It was a concept in our mind. We always knew we should study it, and that was what Sunday school was for in the early days. And then we knew about that scripture that we should be delighted in the Word. If we delight in the Word and in the Lord, He'll give us the desires. We knew what the Word said, but the way we showed respect or lack of it to the Word really revealed how much value we place on God's Word. Many these days, with all the problems in the world, are stress eating, a lot of anxiety. A lot of people are turning to what they call comfort food. I mean, this is a reason to binge eat, stress eat. But the Word of God is our bread when we're hungry. And so instead of trying to deal with our stress by enjoying a feast of comfort food, let's value God's word above even our natural appetite. And let's feed on the bread of life. The word is our bread when we're hungry. It's taught by the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. And as I value the Word of God, a friend of mine wrote a song many years ago, Ron David Moore. I love the lyrics to this song. And it talks about God having a way with words. Now, Ron David has been here and sung it two or three times over the years. He lives in Tennessee, great minister, great songwriter, singer, preacher. And listen to these words: God sure has a way with words. For nights like tonight, I keep a good book by my bed. When I'm feeling blue, I just read the letters in red. Of all of the words that have ever been written, yours are one of a kind. They touch me in ways that Webster could never define. You sure have a way with words. They speak right to my heart and heal all of my hurts. There's comfort and peace with each page I turn. They're so unlike anything I've ever heard. What more can I say? You sure have a way with words. Of all of the books I've read and then tossed aside, there's only one I come back to night after night. I can't put it down. There's something that keeps me hanging on every line. When you wrote this book, you must have been reading my mind. You sure have a way with words. They speak right to my heart and heal all of my hurts. There's comfort and peace with each page I turn. They're so unlike anything I've ever heard. What more can I say? God, you sure have a way with words. I want to pray for you. I know many of you have needs. All of us have needs. God's already decided when and how he's going to meet every need. And there's some of you, I know, either watching live right now or will watch later today or this week. God is dealing with you. Let him. God is touching your heart, changing it into better soil that would receive his word, a rich word he has for you. Some of you know right now, you're not where you should be with the Lord. Some of you need to pray this prayer. And from your heart, just talk to God, Lord, I'm not where I should be with you. I want that to change. God, would you please meet me where I am? I could never get to you, but you came to me. I welcome you into my life. I surrender. I want to call you my Lord. I want to call you my master. I have made a mess of some things. I believe you're the best hope, the great hope, the only hope I have. Please become my master and help me live a better life and receive him as your Lord. Some of you know what that's like, but you've grown cold, like the letter I shared earlier in the service. And she said, I had lost my way. Some of you have lost your way. The next right thing to do is take this step. Lord, get me back to where I need to be with you. Just talk to him like that. You don't have to be in a particular posture. It doesn't have to be all that formal. Just be real with God, and he'll be real to you, and he'll be there with you, and he promised he would never leave. Now, Father, I lift up the needs in the lives of our people. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for your faithfulness to all of your people during this time. I pray that you would strengthen marriages. And during a time when the statistics are worse than ever when it comes to anger and frustration and even domestic violence, Lord, we pray that the peace of God would rule and reign in the lives and in the homes of your people. Thank you that this word has built our faith. We expect you to be with us and never leave us and never forsake us. I pray for those who are sick. May you reveal yourself to be the great healer to your children. We thank you for it, and we bless the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for worshiping from your home again. We hope this won't be very much longer. Pastor Steve, won't you come up here? And I should explain. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I should. Last Sunday, just on an impulse, Pastor Steve came up and always has a great word, a spoken blessing. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I just reached out and did this. I did it again.
My gosh.
So you should know, we're self-quarantined together every day.
Yeah.
So he already had it and gave it to me, whatever.
What was that word you used? Hedonistic?
Hedonistic.
And what was the definition? Massages and...
No, you will find a hedonistic... You will find a hedonistic person, perhaps at a massage parlor. That's their pleasure. Uh-huh. Or an all-you-can-eat buffet. That's a pleasure for some, but not us.
I'm going to have to repent.
We are self-quarantined together. And so,
I love you.
Love you, Pastor Steve. Give our people a great spoken blessing.
Amen. Amen. Before I do that, I just have a couple of announcements to make. I know that some of this is repetitive, but next Sunday is Mother's Day, and you do not want to miss our live stream next Sunday. Pastor Carl and Miss Brenda are going to be coming live from their home. It's going to be a treat just to get to be a part of that. So, tune in next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for that service. And you've not heard this, calling all graduates. If you are graduating this year, we want to know. We know that graduation ceremonies are different this year, but we still want to celebrate your big accomplishment. So give us a call here at the church. The number is 843-669-2629. Just give us a call so that we can get your name down, and we want to celebrate with you. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, join us live on Facebook again for our youth meeting, our gang meeting, as Coach Perk and Jade brings a good word. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, join us for Kids Church live on Facebook. I don't know what's happening, but I've heard maybe a pool party. I'm not exactly sure because I checked the temperature of the pool and it's like 60 degrees. But I heard Justin may be going to go swimming. I'm not sure. We will see. So join us live to see what's going to take place out there. Offerings. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving. I had this thought as worship was going on this morning that our kindness and our love for one another, our voices and our actions and our giving is like harmony in heaven. It's like bouncing off the walls of heaven and everyone's harmonizing. We have seen so much love during this pandemic as everybody's quarantined. We've seen so much unity and we've seen so many people sharing with one another. You know, in Hebrews 13:16, it says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with sacrifices God is pleased." And I just believe this morning that God is pleased with us as his people because I'm seeing so many people sacrifice and give. There's three ways to give here at Abundant Life Church. The first one, you can give online. You can donate online at alcflorence.com. There's a button there. It says donate. It's real easy to do. Just click on it and follow the instructions. And then you can give at our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 2244, Florence, South Carolina, 29503. And then the third way to give is you can drop off your offerings here at the church in the depository box right outside the office door. So thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. And just know that I believe with my whole heart that God is pleased with us today in our giving and our offerings. A benediction over us before we leave. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See you next time. God bless you.